This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound?
And when it comes to the special counsel, do you believe that that investigation, specifically on the issue of possible collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians, do you think that should stop?
Well, that's going to run its course. We'll see what happens. I think it should end quickly. I want them to get to a final conclusion soon, because this needs to end. Nobody has come forward with any evidence that there's been collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians, and it keeps persisting. So it's time to put an end to this. Let's let the special investigation take its course and end, but let's not keep finding ways to open new investigations.
Well, it's what they do, so, you know, they have to do it because, again, it's delaying the process. This was, of course, Rona Romney McDaniel, who is the chair of the Republican National Committee, commenting on Chris Wallace's Fox News Sunday. And, you know, I don't know, you know, what are you saying? You know, do you think this all, I mean, are we just in an echo chamber here in talking about, you know, this collusion, this Russian collusion? You know, have we exercised ourselves enough on this? I mean, we've got the analysts, the experts saying that there is no collusion. You know, one intelligence expert after another, or officer or director, all saying there's no collusion. There's no there. You know, even you have James Comey going, look, we're not investigating the president. But yet the suggestion was that he was being, you know, investigated. And Donald Trump's just saying, hey, why don't you liberate me? Why are you putting this anchor? You know, why don't you just report? And I like Marco Rubio's statement during the hearing. It's like, don't you find it interesting that of all the leaks that came out, why wouldn't there be the leak on, you know, Donald Trump not being under investigation? You know, and I think it's a combination of things, whether or not that leak was sent out. And now it makes you wonder, were these leaks coming, you know, which was suggested early on that it was coming from the intelligence community, because there were very few people that were aware of this. So, you know, all the fingers seem to be pointing, you know, toward the FBI. And then after you hear James Comey, FBI, former FBI director, saying, oh, yeah, well, I just, you know, I'd leaked this information because I wanted to make sure a special counsel took place. But, you know, does this give you some sense of confidence that all this information is being handled with propriety and integrity, and understanding of what it represents? I mean, it's being thrown about. And now you have others, you know, like whether it's Scooter Libby or even, you know, the general, Petraeus, David Petraeus. He's probably going, wait a minute here, you know, I had to pay a big price, and these guys are throwing, you know, security items around like it's nothing. I think that the rules need to be established in such a way that this is, as they say, is the people's information. It belongs to the people, to us. It is our property that's being bantered about and thrown about like as if it's some sort of economical, you know, currency there on the Beltway. And to me, if it's our property, if it's a property issue, why would not the people who are holding the property, who receive the property, because, you know, if stolen property is in play, not only do you get the thief, but you also go after the person that is in possession of it. I don't understand the logic or the mislogic and why or how somebody can steal something, have something that doesn't belong to them, and in this case, the media, and be able to put it out there. I mean, if it was secured, and, you know, to begin with, and the media gets it, and we're going back to the Pentagon Papers, we're going back to Snowden, we're going back to, you know, all these issues about this property and the way it's exposed, why would the media not be culpable? I mean, that's my question. And, of course, I understand some people go, you know, have said to me, Bill, that starts to go down a slippery slope. Well, maybe it does, and maybe it's one slope that we need to go down. in order to really seal this stuff up, because just to leave it out there and allow the media to run ramshod with it and expose national secrets, I have a problem with it. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
That's still our focus, ladies and gentlemen, and one that I believe that we should all, you know, affirm and pursue. And with every idea and concept that comes along, does it add or take away from the ability of our country to realize this objective, to get back on track? You know, it used to be, not that long ago, 7 out of 10 agreed we were on the wrong track. I said, well, great observation, but what are we going to do about it? Now, since Trump's election, it's 6 out of 10, but I think we still need to deal with something very foundational and endemic if we're going to solve this problem. Welcome back. I am Bill Martinez. We are live at 7 minutes after the top of the hour right now. And our next guest, I've been looking forward to having this conversation with, Robert Oscar Lopez. He was associate professor of English at Cal State University Northridge before he was forced to leave. He now teaches at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Dallas. He was raised by a lesbian mother with the help of her lifelong female partner in Buffalo, New York. Later, he went on to receive an undergraduate degree from Yale and his doctorate and master's in English classics from SUNY, Buffalo. In his late 20s, he reconnected with his biological father, fell in love with a woman, and became a father himself. Robert Oscar Lopez, Dr. Lopez, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir? Dr. Lopez, are you there? Can we hear you?
Having a hard time.
Okay, here we go. Now we're connected. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Welcome to the show here, Dr. Lopez. Good to have you here. Your book, Wackos, Thugs, and Perverts, Clintonian Decadence in Academia, pointed out that academia is sick and broken, like so much of what we're dealing with here in America.
Yes, I think academia is a big part of the puzzle. It is a central problem. It should be a top priority. I see a lot of conservative media focusing on episodes or really embarrassing things, events here and there that happen, but I really want to see more structural focus on how we're going to change the problem of higher education, because it's a huge economic problem with the student debt. It's a huge political problem because of the bias and the brainwashing that's going on. And it's also just a cultural and social problem, because I think it is instilling in millions of young people a dysfunctional way of life. Mm-hmm. So,
well, what I am saying, Dr. Lopez, here, whether we're talking about academia, you know, immigration, on and on, it's like we've lost sense of the foundational principle and objective of each of these disciplines and organisms. We're just kind of letting them run amok, and then we wonder why it's in chaos, and it's misserving the very people that it's supposed to serve. And especially when you talk about academia, with over $1 trillion in student debt, at the end of the day, what is really its true value? I mean, are the kids really getting full benefit of what they paid for?
Right. I think in the case of higher education, it's a very specific problem, which is that the institution evolved out of a religious model. The university emerged in the Middle Ages as a Christian concept of cloister, where men of God took vows of poverty and chastity and obedience, and they got together and they studied. And so because of that model, people had a lot of faith in universities, and so they didn't ask a lot of questions about the money, and they let universities regulate themselves. But what, fast forward a couple hundred years, and now we're at a situation where universities have nothing to do with God whatsoever. Even the Christian and Catholic universities are very hostile to the concept of God itself. And so what you have is a bunch of people who are enjoying all of those privileges, but they're not taking vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. There's no sort of central religious code that's higher than them that's pulling them together. So what you have is a wasteful kind of mafia of people who are running the institution in order to profit themselves and in order to benefit themselves. And they have entered into a very dysfunctional partnership with the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party basically has an implicit deal with academia. They say, if you help us get elected and get into office, when we're in power, we will use the power of the Treasury to throw tons of money at the universities, no questions asked, and the universities, in return, have to propagate Democratic Party propaganda in the classroom and in the research and in all of the service that the university does. So it's a very dangerous principle that this is working on. And unfortunately, 40% right now of the country is getting a bachelor's degree, if you look at the workplace adults. So we're in a situation where this is a huge part of the country, and it is dragging down our democracy. And that's not even to begin to talk about the problem of what they're actually teaching, which is garbage. I mean, I hate to be so blunt, but I mean, I taught for 8 years at a California State University, and the kind of stuff that was being taught in the classroom to these students was unconscionable, you know? So it's a big crisis.
Well, let's follow the money in answering your point. Let's look at academia and what's happened in the last 100 or so years, and how the cost of education has skyrocketed, and nobody seems to ask why.
Right. Part of the problem is that the universities got bigger. They acquired more real estate. If you look at the buildings, they started multiplying and they started buying up properties. And then there were more colleges. There are many more colleges today than there were 100 years ago. And then they started following this model of in loco parentis, where the university is supposed to be like a surrogate family for your original family. And it creates this alternative universe where all of your social life is structured around the university's mission. So you had to develop this entire administrative superstructure of counselors and investigators and bureaucrats, and those people now outnumber instructors on college campuses, and they get paid very highly, and no one can really evaluate the work that they do. So a lot of the money that's being thrown at universities now has nothing to do with instruction. In fact, instruction has withered. Most of the classes now are being taught by adjuncts who are temporary workers who are not part of the university and who have no investment in it. And so that's a big part of the way that the money spiraled out of control. And the reason why the tuitions are so high, you know, the tuitions have gone up, at least I know that they went up 439% between 1988 and 2011. And since then, they've gone up, too. The increase in tuition is because of the price tag that is determined by the administrators. And the problem is, the government doesn't really do anything to force them to bring down the cost. It's the same thing that happened with housing. The government guarantees the student loans. They give them tax exemptions on all of the donations and all of the holdings and interest that universities earn with the things that they have in investment. And then on top of it, they also give them billions of dollars in grants, direct research grants and development grants, et cetera. So there's no accountability, essentially. That's why I say it's a mafia. They're price gouging parents, and nobody can say anything because nobody wants to take on the university. Do you want to go up in front of Harvard, in front of Congress, where half of Congress went to Harvard?
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody. That's the problem, is that they're a beast, and no one can take them on.
Yeah, I mean, they paid the tuition. Everybody else has paid the tuition. So you just keep doing it because that's just the way things are done. And you're not supposed to ask those inquisitive questions that challenge the, you know, challenge the establishment and the thought du jour. And as you say, academia, you know, parts of academia have been weaponized. And as you follow the money, I mean, that's an incredible increase, over 400% in the last 30 years. And so it bears the question to ask, why has academia gotten that much better? Is it worth that much? Does it pass the so what test, or has this been something that's kind of been baked into the whole system and we're dealing with a rigged system? Dr. Robert Oscar Lopez is with us. We've got more from him on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi, this is Ron Paul, former congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I love these summer months because this is when I get to enjoy the fresh fruits and vegetables that are being harvested on small farms and in our backyards. We all look forward to garden tomatoes and corn on the cob. Don't you wish there was a better way to preserve their true tastes and flavors? I'm here to tell you that there is a better way. It's by using the amazing home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. I have a Harvest Right freeze dryer and use it to preserve the foods I love. Strawberries, apples, and even lasagna and ice cream can stay fresh for 25 years. And the best part of my freeze drying is my family and I have a supply of long-lasting food on hand. So no matter what may come, we feel better prepared. We love our freeze dryer. To learn more, go to HarvestRight.com or call 800-923-9591. That's HarvestRight.com or 800-923-9591.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction, but what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lottinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hey, D. D.C., there's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Just the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. I am Bill Martinez. Our conversation with Dr. Robert Oscar Lopez continues. Dr. Lopez says academia is sick and broken. This is his prognosis. He was a former professor and of English at Cal State University Northridge before he was forced to leave. He now teaches at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Dallas. Dr. Lopez, why did they force you to leave at Cal State University in Northridge?
Basically, I was forced out by the gay and lesbian lobby. Essentially, I took a Christian position on marriage, and also I had been raised by a lesbian couple, and I was very clear that I loved my mother and her partner, but that I would never want to force that on any other child because it's unfair. And just having said that, and I suppose they looked at me as someone who was particularly threatening because I was a minority, because I wasn't the usual voice against gay marriage. They really went after me for years. And so they were constantly having me up on investigation. I was getting harassed. And the Chicano Studies Department was very threatening towards me, too. So I left because I realized that if I stayed there, I was going to at some point be charged with something that I couldn't disprove, although the charges were false. But eventually, if it's you against thousands of people, you can't constantly document everything. And so eventually they're going to get you out. So I left. Okay. And I'm very happy where I am now.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, well, here, you're at Dallas Theological Seminary. Are you kidding me? What a great opportunity for you to be there. Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Dallas, which is world-renowned. So a great opportunity for you. And with your experience, what God has allowed you to experience and, to reconcile your faith with, because as we go through life's journey, that is the challenge for people of faith, is saying, okay, how do I reconcile the Word of God with life as I know it and the culture as it is evolving here? It makes for interesting times, to say the least, doesn't it?
It does, and I think higher education is a big part of this equation because that is the epitome of the powers and principalities, and that is the modern-day equivalent of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I mean, it's a huge institution that can intimidate you with its prestige, with its power over your career. They almost feel like they have the power of life and death over you. But you have to remember that, you know, God's law is supreme, and if they are, in fact, teaching things that run contrary to God's law, or if they're actually leading people away from God, that is something that you have to call out. And you don't have to be nice about it, because Jesus was very kind towards sinners who sinned because, you know, they were enslaved by sin. But he was not gentle with people who were false teachers.
Without a doubt.
That's how we have to deal with, I think, higher ed.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I want to go back to what we were talking about previously in terms of the switch that happened in the latter 80s. Where administrators took over, to where we're administrative heavy, and they started, carving out a pretty good niche for themselves, to where all the money is at the top end, and the money where it's needed at the student level is kind of evaporated. So now you have these administrators making a ton of money, and the burden is on the parents and on students. Over $1 trillion now in student loan debt. But even still, you know, whether it's Bernie Sanders or other Democrats, they really don't seem to really be earnest in dealing with the systemic issue here, do they?
No, it's completely false the way that they talk about this issue, because their solution to everything is just to give people more free student tuition, but they're not driving down the cost of all this administration. They're not holding to account the people in power at those universities who are exercising a great deal of racism. I mean, I'll be honest, it's a very racist industry. As much as you hear people in higher ed accusing everyone else of being racist, it's very, very white dominated at the upper level ranks of the administration. It's very anti-poor. It's cruel to the working class and middle class. I mean, this is a huge transfer of wealth from very hardworking people who are struggling to put together their life savings. And all of that money is being thrown into a black hole that's really benefiting the fund managers and the administrators at the university. And you don't really hear people like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren certainly not Hillary Clinton, speaking earnestly about what this means for their professed values. I mean, they are supposed to represent the working guy, the little guy, right, as Democrats.
Right.
But this is an area where they're completely contradicting themselves, and the Republicans are actually much more attentive to the concerns of the working class and middle class, because I hear more of the calls coming from the Republicans for what I want, which is a massive nationwide shift to trades education. Mm-hmm. I think everyone who graduates from high school, if they want to go for more schooling, the first thing they have to do is get an associate's in a trade.
Yes.
And then once there's some skill that you have, if you want to go be a philosopher, okay, fine. But if you know how to operate a drill, or if you know how to do electrician work, you know, you'll always have a job for yourself. And so you're not going to be intimidated by these teachers when you go to college. But, you know, that's coming mostly from the Republicans. I don't hear that coming from the Democrats.
Well, Dr. Lopez, for you, you know, as you say, the prejudice that you had to overcome, it was an uphill battle for you. Why did you put your head in the fan and just keep going?
Oh, what do you mean?
I mean, in terms of fighting, you know, fighting the prejudice that was happening on the campuses. I mean, here you've risen to the ranks of, earning your PhD and fighting the political. I mean, obviously, it got to a point where you just said, hey, I'm out of here. I can see what they're going to do. And you've been able to find a safe haven. But meanwhile, you've got students there at Cal State University Northridge that are the effect of, the situation. I'm not trying to indict you. I'm only just saying, wow. I mean, I feel for you. I mean, I've had to deal with a little bit of this, you know, by comparison, in my ranks as a broadcaster. I was the first, believe it or not, first Hispanic in Los Angeles with a Hispanic last name when I got out of the Marine Corps in 1972. Up to 1972,
oh, wow.
You never heard a Hispanic last name in LA radio on a contemporary radio station.
Well, congratulations on that. Yeah, I part of me wanted to stay in spite. I knew that there were Christian students who needed there to be at least one voice there. And certainly I did care a lot about the Latinos on campus, because that was a campus that was 40% Latino.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated the way that they were being miseducated and being given all of this bad teaching. And they were really being taught, like, for instance, all of the Latino students were being taught that their struggle for racial equality was equivalent to the LGBT struggle, which drove me crazy.
Right.
I was like, these are two completely different things. Like, Latino culture does not embrace those values. So I did want to stay there, but it was to the point where, you know, I couldn't trust anybody, because they would send people that, I don't know who was doing it, but students would come in sometimes just off the street, and they would say, oh, I'm this Christian student, and I really believe in you. I've seen what you're writing. And then it turns out that they were just trying to get information on me, and the stuff that I told them would end up in a file in a hearing. You know what I mean? So
yes.
It was to the point where I couldn't even do anything. I couldn't really operate any kind of work for Christ in that environment. So I just had to pull out. It's unfortunate. I wish I could have stayed further. But I think that a school like Cal State Northridge, I think, would need to be just completely overhauled from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not in a position to do that. So
they got to drain their swamp as well. Well, your book,
right.
Rocco's Thugs and Perverts, Clintonian Decadence in Academia. Dr. Lopez, what do you want people to take away from your book?
I think the most important thing is follow the money, and mm-hmm. that if you want to see change in higher education, just be very single-minded about it. Don't get distracted with all the little controversies. Get the federal government to cut off the money, because the only way that these colleges are going to change is if they're forced to change because their money is cut off.
Exactly.
You can't sue them. You can't embarrass them. You can't browbeat them. You can't guilt trip them. They're not going to listen to your arguments. They're not going to let you come in and suggest changes. It's all about the money. That is totally what fuels all of this. Cut it off.
Well, when you think about all the money that's invested, the return on investment, and this is what Donald Trump's bringing to the conversation here, is we have a president that looks at, looks at investment and says there should be something coming out the other end in a positive way. There should be a positive return on investment. And that has been questioned for a long time when it comes to academia. So your book's going to go a long way. I pray that it does, and that there are ears and eyes open to receive the message that you're laying out here. Wackos, Thugs, and Perverts, Clintonian Decadence in Academia. Dr. Lopez, available. The book is available at all the usual places, I take it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is at Amazon.com.
And we'll link it on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. Professor Robert Oscar Lopez, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Dr. Lopez, thank you for being with us.
The Experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Values, faith, service. They still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
All those issues, those characteristics that are lasting and fulfilling and genuine, these are great values that you can build a country on, let me tell you. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back. Bill Martinez here. And Dr. Paul Scalia is with us. Yes, you hear the name Scalia. Yes, this is the popular priest in the Washington, D.C. area, son of the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. And we're going to be talking about his brand new book, That Nothing May Be Lost, Reflections on Catholic Doctrine and Devotion. Father Scalia, welcome to Bill Martinez Live.
Thanks so much for having me. Good to be with you.
Well, Father, let me tell you, it's an honor. I will say this at the very front. Your father was such an example, I know, to his immediate family, but to this nation. And it is still with a heavy heart and a loss that we still feel today at the passing of your father. And I do want to honor your father and your family for the gift that he gave this country. And and I think it's a gift that continues to give. His legacy is lasting.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I hope that I think his legacy will last. I hope it does. I think he had such a great impact, not just in legal circles, but I'll tell you, in the months and really the year after my dad's death, there's just so many different letters and cards of support and everything from people all over the world mm-hmm. who were inspired by, not necessarily by his jurisprudence, but just by his public witness and mm-hmm. his willingness to speak the truth his willingness to be, you know, a public person who also is a person of faith. And,
yeah, exactly.
And is vocal about that, not ashamed of it.
What did that do for you in terms of expanding your appreciation for your dad? I mean, it's one thing to be around your dad as a father, and but to be, you know, this kind of example and to have this influence, I mean, it was around the world that his influence, his tentacles reached out to. So were there some, you know, what kind of surprises did you get from some of these letters that people were writing to you?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you put your finger on it, though, because he was his dad first,
yeah, right?
And first and last. And so, as with any, you know, family, you know, we saw the best and the worst. We knew well aware of his greatness, but then mm-hmm. but then also saw his foibles and his, you know, mm-hmm. That is first to us. And but then, you know, even when he was alive, and I would hear him speak at some function, I would think, Kelly, he's pretty smart, you know. He really knows his stuff.
Right.
And then upon his passing, you know, I always appreciated his public voice on things, and but I didn't realize the scope of it. I guess that was the big surprise, is the scope and the reach, and how many people in different places got, you know, somebody wrote from Spain, so that they had been in a bookstore and California and picked up his book years ago, and it was like life changing. You know, who knew?
Yes,
so,
exactly.
So it was really the scope of it that was surprising, and also inspiring, because he always gave a great example of you know, not backing down and speaking the truth. And so for me as a priest, that's very inspiring. And so to see the reach that he had was. That was a great gift, because it sort of signaled that, you know, if you're willing to speak out, yeah, people will hear and they will listen, and it does make a difference.
Yeah, when you speak the truth, that's one less penance you have to deal with, you know, when you're speaking the truth. So that goes a long way. Speaking of your father's voice, I'm just kind of curious, because my father passed 12 years ago, and there is a recurring voice. I mean, his voice that I hear in my mind to this day. What does that voice tell you?
My siblings and I have joked about this, in fact, it's related to my book. I can tell you this: when I several years ago, when I began the project of kind of gathering these essays and putting them together, and you know, getting contributors, and I was home for dinner with my mom and dad, and I told them. And my dad had been very supportive of my writing, and critical when necessary. Mm-hmm. And so I told him that I was doing this, and my dad simply said, "Good." And that was it.
That's it. I'm good. Yeah.
My siblings completely understand that one word, and they would know the tone of voice, they would know the expression, and it means, "I'm proud of you. This is a very good thing for you to do. I hope you do well with this." But it also means, don't blow it, and why didn't you think of this earlier? So all of those things are sort of wrapped up.
Yeah.
So that's you know, sort of what I hear, I think straightforward points of encouragement and of caution at the same time.
Exactly. Well, Father Scalia, your book, That Nothing May Be Lost, Reflections on Catholic Doctrine and Devotion. Well, I got to tell you this, and I don't know if you sense this, maybe you do, but I think the timing, I mean, we know that our time is in God's hands, but your book, I think coming out at a time when you have what I am seeing, a coming home of lots of Catholics to the Church, and I believe this book is going to help facilitate this even more so, because there's some questions that Catholics have had, and I think it's been some of those questions that have diverted their path. But I see them coming home every week now. In you know, because I do a lot of traveling and Catholic masses that I attend. You know, when I'm in an area, especially, you know, the pews are starting to fill up again.
Well, yeah, I hope this can facilitate that, and I do think that it addresses a weakness in our culture, which is the separation of doctrine and devotion, and I think that, you know, I think the church has suffered that as well, is that there's been sort of a weakening of that connection in the past, you know, 40 to 50 years. It's just an influence of society on the church. And if we can present these things as united and in a proper way, I think that's always a way to bring people back and get them to realize, you know, the beauty of, well, for fallen away Catholics, of the beauty of what they once had and exactly. Of course, can always have again. And for non-Catholics, perhaps, you know, being intrigued by it and falling in love with it for the first time.
Well, I think for those that are not Catholic and those that are, you know, maybe searching spiritually, you know, they want to know what it is that you believe in. And I believe that's part of the problem that we run into. You know, the Bible says that people without vision will cast off restraint. That vision is the revelation of God. There are tried and true traditions, liturgy that has been established, that is there in the church. I look at it and take Jesus for his word when he said, those things that you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And there are certain things about the church that he established that are bound, and that when we are true to those that have been bound, that is consistent with God's kingdom yet to be realized here on this planet, on this experience. And I think it's very powerful. And at a time when we are, you know, we find ourselves as a country very divided, and we're fighting, but I'm wondering, you know, sometimes say, are we fighting the right fight here?
Yeah, you know, the Pharisees at one point in the Gospels, the Pharisees come to Jesus and they're trying to trap him, but they begin by flattering him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, deceitful and it's insincere on their part. But it's also true. They say to him, "We know that you are a truthful man, and that you are," in one translation, "you no respecter of persons." In other words, you're not trimming your message to fit the person, but you always speak what is true. People always want that. They always want, as you put it, say, what is it that you believe, and give it to me straight. I want to hear the truth. I might not agree with what you think, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, and this is why I believe, for a time such as this, if I can say that, is that the book is so timely in terms of reinforcing and reintroducing, in some cases, Catholic doctrine and devotion, and why it's there. And I believe the evidence is empirical, because for people who have followed doctrine and devotion, it's something they don't want to live with. When we come back, we're going to start talking about the sacraments and get into more of your book. We're visiting with Father Paul Scalia here, That Nothing May Be Lost, Reflections on Catholic Doctrine and Devotion, on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us, America.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-656-9775. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-656-9775. That's 1-800-656-9775. 1-800-656-9775.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
We the people. Listen to Bill Martinez live.
Well, it's not exactly in order, but we appreciate you tuning in. Welcome back, 14 before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez live. Our conversation with Father Paul Scalia continues as we discuss his book, That Nothing May Be Lost, Reflections on Catholic Doctrine and Devotion. Father, I'm here in the West Coast. I'm usually based out of the East Coast in Florida, but I'm here in the West Coast visiting with my grandkids, and my son and his wife and their daughter, Ava, just had her first Holy Communion, and we had a chance to talk. Wonderful. About just how special communion is. I mean, this was her first time, and we went to Mass yesterday and received communion together, and it's just, you know, I'm not even sure I have the words to just tell you how special it is and how I look forward to the celebration of the Eucharist whenever I can. And I told her, I go, this is one of the greatest gifts that you are partaking in, that God has given us. And it was really, really neat, you know, to hear her expression about how it blessed her and how this kind of, you know, unifies her commitment and her connection with God. I thought it was real special.
Yeah, you know, it's such it's the greatest grace that we can receive, this, you know, this side of heaven. Mm-hmm. And it's a curious thing because for the reception of Holy Communion, we need to maintain that childlike disposition, you know, mm-hmm. The beauty and the innocence that we see in the kids making their first communion. We should try to, you know, maintain that. At the same time, we need to sort of grow into a more adult appreciation for how much we need this.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
And how much we depend on that. That's a realization that comes to us as we get on in years, and we realize that how insufficient we are, and how we need Him to feed us. So, what a beautiful thing!
Exactly, and it was such a blessing. And you know, in your book, you talk about how unity comes from the seven sacraments. Break that down for our audience, if you would.
Well, what makes us one, what brings true unity, is Christ Himself, is being conformed to Him, being united in Him. Mm-hmm. And the history of mankind is really a history of trying to achieve unity in other ways, by force of arms or economically, those don't really bring about a oneness. They might unite nations for a mm-hmm. time, but the deeper unity that we desire and that we're created for is only found when we are united, that we are one in Christ. Mm-hmm. And the sacraments are the way by which he establishes that, because that's the way that his life comes from heaven into our souls and binds us together. So baptism, I like to quip that in the case of baptism, water is thicker than blood.
Yeah.
Because the baptized are more closely bound to one another. They are more one with one another than even family members are with one another. And
exactly.
So that supernatural rebirth has a more profound unity among its members than even natural birth. Mm-hmm. And then all the other sacraments either serve to foster that or to heal it. And which is why, you know, our Lord at the Last Supper, the same moment that he institutes the sacraments of the Eucharist, he also speaks of unity, being one in him as he and the Father are one. That's the great gift of the sacrament. And it's also sort of a remedy to our way of thinking, because we think we're just going to do it by our own ingenuity or whatever else, or we're going to achieve unity by sort of, getting away from some of the hard teachings and say, if I just set aside this teaching, then maybe we can be more closely united. Well, no, the unity, the oneness that Christ has in store for us is much deeper than anything we can achieve by our own efforts.
Exactly. And I like what you said about baptism. I've always seen baptism as a time of, the start of renewing the mind to where we can receive spiritual things and have spiritual understanding. It's that road toward that. Because as we, there's so much about God that if you don't have a spiritual understanding, there's no way you're going to understand. I mean, you can't have a conversation with God because it's, the wrong message, wrong church, so to speak. And the other thing in regard to unity, because some people talk about unity and some, like you force it, like you say, through war and all that. But God's form of unity leads even to a higher calling, and that's freedom. And when God showed that to me, Father, I just like, wow. I mean, the light bulbs went off, because I used to think, okay, well, we could be, happy and fulfilled to a certain measure on this earth. But, and I used to do a presentation as an adjunct professor, at a college in Southern California. And I'd always talk about, being fulfilled, because even government, statistics would say that probably about 10% of the labor force is fulfilled. And I'm going, okay, that's the ultimate. Until one day, as I was doing the presentation, God immediately downloaded this revelation to me that it wasn't about fulfillment, it's about freedom. And when you think what Jesus gave us and what it all leads to in terms of this higher calling of freedom, I mean, that's pretty powerful, I believe.
And a kind of freedom that that most of us cannot conceive or think of, because it is the freedom that we find St. Maximilian Kolbe living out in Auschwitz.
Mm.
It's the freedom that the martyrs have. It's the freedom that no political power, no tyrant, no dictator can ever take away. It is the freedom that is just perfect peace in Christ. And it's related to what you said before in the knowledge or the enlightenment that comes from baptism. The world speaks about an age of enlightenment, which was really just sort of human reasoning, and whether that led to enlightenment is really open for debate, in my opinion.
Mm.
The sacrament of enlightenment is baptism, and that is when our mind is really receives that light and that capacity to know God and to know divine things and to see things in this world in divine terms. And I don't think we sort of, if you will, activate that enough. And I think a lot of times people fall into the trap of viewing divine things in human terms.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, viewing the church in political terms,
mm-hmm.
and viewing it as just another administration or another just a merely human institution. When that enlightenment helps us understand the church as the body of Christ and
mm-hmm.
as a force for freedom. And,
right.
and not freedom in the political sense, but in a much, much deeper sense.
And like everything that God creates, it demands a growing, a maturing. God says, go forth, be fruitful, multiply. You have to grow in there. And I have found time and again when people are most frustrated is when they have a gift, a talent, a blessing from God that hasn't been developed. Very cranky, you know, they can be very difficult to deal with. And all it is it's a part of them that is crying out to be expressed and developed.
And I think also the challenges that people encounter and the difficulties they might encounter in their faith, they will, I think, mistakenly interpret them as doubts. But yes. A difficulty is, as John Henry Newman says, is not a doubt. Yeah. And that difficulty, that is sort of a challenge for us to grow more, to trust God more, to deepen our understanding of the faith. And that's part of the growing into things as well. And the proper response that we always have to give to our Lord's initiatives. And if we're not giving those responses, then the seed falls on rocky ground.
Exactly.
Yeah, not gonna do anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the format and what you've done a little bit different than most books. You start each subject with an introductory essay, so you're really exercising and conditioning the mind here to think about whatever is you're going to talk about, like the roadmap to a life of grace. So how did that idea come about?
Well, in all honesty, it was suggested to me, and I liked it very much, and I like the way it's come about to have these different voices sprinkled throughout the book that to sort of set the tone for the next section, but then also to view things in a different way, bring a different voice, to see how the truths that I'm trying to express are enfleshed or sort of encapsulated in another way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's helpful as well. The contributors are, all friends to, of varying years, and it's just come together so well in having them make these contributions. So I kind of vary which one I really, like to read over, because they're all so good. There's, certain times like, favor one over the others, but they're all really just excellent.
Excellent. Well, as we mentioned, unity comes from seven sacraments. So also, you address a roadmap to a life of grace. You encourage a strong devotion to our Blessed Mother. I mean, they're all great topics, and I was especially touched by the guidance on how to develop a continuous conversation with God.
Yeah, and which is what everybody wants, even if we don't realize we want it. And it's one of the most fundamental requests of a disciple, and we hear our Lord's own disciples saying that, Lord, teach us to pray.
Yes.
And it's such a heartfelt question, and it's one that lingers with everybody. And in my work as a priest, when people come to me, I find myself saying again and again that this has to be brought back to prayer.
Exactly.
I just can't give solutions. We need to bring these things to prayer so that our struggles can bear fruit.
As Paul says, pray without ceasing, and we're encouraged. Father Paul Scalia, the late Justice Antonin Scalia's son, his new book, That Nothing May Be Lost, Reflections on Catholic Doctrine and Devotion, the book available at all the usual places. I would encourage the Catholic faithful and those who are thinking of coming into the church. This is a must-read book. You will be blessed greatly. Father Scalia, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Come.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week, in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day, along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
The answer to be